This hour of Phil Hendry is brought to you by Dynapep Micro Energy Shot.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I kind of have my head down in the bunker getting the movie done, but every time I stick my head
Dick
up...
Dick Wolf, the executive producer of Law and Order.
He's a... Good long hours here.
Interrupting my conflict.
You feel responsible, though, for some of the heartbreak that his wife is
feeling? Keep that chicken. My butt would be raw.
Now, isn't that lovely?
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night until 1 a.m. on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We broadcast from the El Pacifico out here on the furthest western edge of the grand experiment of America through the looking glass, the Alice in Wonderland of talk radio. We take you each and every night. Coming up this hour, we have Gerald Fisher, a sports writer, freelance sports writer. He's also involved in writing a blog, and he does an awful lot of very serious sports reporting and sports, I say serious news reporting as well. Is going to be our very special guest. And, of course, Tiger Woods is taking a break from golf. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Remember, you can go online and watch the show. Watch the show on video, live streaming video each and every night at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. You can also listen to our audio, and you can download our audio. And with our site redesign coming up, we're going to have more and more things for you to enjoy from our website, philhendryshow.com. Here is... Gerald Fisher. Mr. Fisher has been a sports writer for some 25 years. He also edits his own blog. He's a regular contributor to major sports publications and has written most recently a book on the history of blacks, not only in the PGA, but in their own tour, which is called, it's called 4-F-O-U-R, right, Gerald?
That's right, yeah.
Why is it called that?
Well, there are four golfers I think you can point to who were the pivotal black golfers in the history of the sport. Charlie Sifford is one of them. I believe Calvin Peet is another who was a great shot-making golfer. And we go from there to the other personalities that helped create the black tour, which eventually was disbanded as more and more blacks began to play in the PGA.
So how do you feel? So this must be an interesting story to you. Watching Tiger Woods, watching his rise in a sport that was, and you mentioned some names, Sifford and Pete, and every now and again a black golfer would come along and really tear it up, but nobody with the ability of a Tiger Woods, who has challenged everybody, the Nicklauses, the Palmers, the Sneeds, you name it. It must have been exciting for you.
Well, it was. It's very exciting to watch, you know, because as a writer, I always am looking for something, you know, that is going to excite my readership and is going to be a great story to tell.
Right.
And this, of course, has been a great story to tell for the very reasons that you mentioned, as well as the fact that he has African heritage. And it's a classic American success story, too. So I've been very blessed, I would say. I think anybody writing about golf has been very blessed following Tiger Woods and what he's been able to accomplish.
Now we have the personal problems that Tiger Woods is faced with, and I would ask you, what you think about it? He has announced that he's taking a break from golf. I don't know how much of a break. I think he said 6 months. He may miss the whole tour in 2010. That's not only bad for you as a sports writer because you've got less interesting golf to write about. It's not good for the game either, is it?
Well, it's not good for the professional game. I don't know if you can say that it's bad for the game. I think people always play golf. I think people are always going to be interested in playing golf. It's one of the few sports that anybody, no matter who they are, can take up and get fairly proficient. You know, if you put your mind to it and you practice and so forth. But we're talking about the professional game. You asked me the question in that context. I would tell you, of course, this is going to be a blow, I think, to the money that the tour make, as well as the brand of golf, and when I look at Tiger Woods leaving as easily as he has because of something that is unrelated to his golf life. It begins to sour me a little bit still on what otherwise has been a great experience for me, being an American and looking at our country and seeing how our country has come together.
When you say that this sours you on your experiences watching Tiger Woods leave the game?
That is correct, yes.
Why does that sour you?
Well, I don't think there's anyone that looks at this and doesn't see the hidden hand, you know, of a outraged, predominantly white media and a predominantly white advertiser base that has decided that this young black man has done something that is so egregious that he must be banished from the sport. He must be exiled from the sport. Put in his place, I think, is a far better way of saying it. I don't want to be that explosive.
But he made the decision to take a break from golf. Nobody told him to leave golf.
Well, I would beg to differ. I think that when you have major sponsors pulling out and your money, and that is the base of money that you use to operate with, is pulling out too, and you have the no doubt, no question in my mind, the leadership core of the PGA, which is a white, predominantly white, white man's club, there's no question in my mind that Tiger Woods was directed and exiled.
Gerald, are you telling me that this was involuntary?
It is what involuntary? Is Tiger Woods?
Tiger Woods, you're saying that he's leaving the sport and it's rather involuntary?
I don't want to attribute to Tiger Woods any feelings he might have. I don't doubt that Tiger Woods has said to himself, well, this is just not worth it. If I'm not going to have sponsorship money, if I'm going to have to put up with a PGA at every tour stop, someone coming up to me in a blue blazer and wagging their finger at me, or a member of the press wagging their finger at me, I don't doubt that he has been frightened very much. But I think the overwhelming evidence shows that Tiger Woods has been the victim of what I call cyber fire hose, you know.
What does that mean, a cyber fire hose? Is that a reference to the fire hosing in Birmingham? You're taking this into a racial area that's pretty extreme, don't you think? If you're talking about a guy who was caught with these 11 mistresses.
Well, I want to comment. No, hold on, Phil. I want to comment. I'm not taking anything extreme. When you're talking about a black man who was with 11 white women, and suddenly the biggest draw in all of the PGA is not going to be seen on the golf course at all. Someone has made a decision that Tiger Woods needs to be directed off the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And
the Edmund... Well, hold on for a minute.
Let me finish my point now. No,
hold on. The Edmund Pettus Bridge. The Edmund Pettus Bridge. You mean the Selma March? You're clearly taking this to a racial place.
Well, you know, it's not unusual, though. I've done a lot of radio shows. It's not unusual to have a white host like you be incredulous. But there are millions and millions of black people listening to me right now. I totally get what I'm saying. Tiger Woods, if you ever saw the video of the firemen hosing those black people down the street, they would roll literally side over side over side down the street being hit with a fire water. You can easily see Tiger Woods laying on a golf course and rolling down the golf course as the figurative or the cyber fire hose of the PGA.
So Tiger Woods had absolutely nothing to do with this, that this was all preordained or ordained from on high. Get him out of the sport.
Absolutely. Look at all the sponsors that are dropping their association with Tiger Woods.
Yep. Well, there's something to be said, though, for everybody likes money. And if you want to take this down a racial road, you know as well as I do that one of the things that broke the back of segregation in the South was the fact that the boycotts were hurting businesses. Black boycotts of businesses were hurting those businesses, and so they had no choice but to rescind these, you know what I'm saying?
Right, but you don't understand that these people dropping their support of Tiger Woods because they know that if they support Tiger Woods, there are a lot of white golfers out there that feel offended by a young, good-looking black man escorting 11 women on his arm, getting out of a limousine, getting out of a Rolls Royce with 11 white women. That is definitely going to frustrate, to use a kind word, any of those men sitting at the PGA headquarters in their blazers and smoking those cigars with the wooden holders and drinking whatever they drink out of those glasses that are shaped like a bell, upside down bell, you know. And so they will say, I don't like that. I don't like the way it looks at all. I don't like the way it looks at all. Look at him. And he's walking around like he, you know, with that crap-eating grin on his face. I need him out of here. I want him gone.
The PGA and the advertisers.
Well, the advertisers have already spoken. If you want the image of Tiger Woods, that is the most accurate image. When I say cyber fire hose, I'm not literally saying a police officer taking a hose and rolling him down the street. But imagine in your mind if the Birmingham Fire Department took out a fire hose and they aimed it on Tiger Woods. And he would roll down the fairway with that fire hose hitting him, roll all the way down the fairway onto the green, you know. Now, that's a very weird image, I grant you.
Weird image. I mean, I can't, you know, but you're telling me that this is what's happening.
What's happening, they're rolling him off the green onto the parking lot. That's what that fire hose is doing, a PGA fire hose and a media fire hose. And so it's robbing me of my livelihood, too.
Because you can't write about a great golfer.
Yeah, I can't write about a great golfer. I got to write about golf without Tiger Woods. I might as well be writing about croquet, you know, or lawn darts. That's about how interesting this PGA is going to be without him.
You know, the PGA still got some very good golfers.
The PGA got golfers, but great golfers, they don't have any. They have no great golfers. Tiger Woods was it. And now he has been cyber fire hosed off the golf lane.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Boy, those images, the cyber fire hosing, it reminds me of what Clarence Thomas said once, although in his case he was right. The high-tech lynching is what he said. Gerald Fisher is our guest, and you heard him. He said that Tiger Woods has been cyber fire hosed right off of the PGA Tour because of these affairs, that the advertisers are the ones that have forced him out, that the PGA has forced him out, that essentially a predominantly white power structure in golf and the media has said, Tiger, it's time for you to go into exile. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And we'd like to get your comments on that. We also have, of course, more from Gerald Fisher. We'll be talking with him about the public, and that is the sporting public's responsibility in all of this. We'll be back in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil with me is Gerald Fisher. Gerald is a freelance sports writer. We talk about Tiger Woods, and you've been very, very clear that you believe that this is something that has been preordained by the PGA. He's been forced out, Gerald. Now, I want to ask you, and I know callers are going to ask you about John Daly. John Daly had problems, too. John Daly was not treated kindly by the media, you know?
Well, you have to understand when you talk about John Daly what it is you're talking about. John Daly did things that was directly related to the game of golf and the legitimacy and the honesty with which he played golf. First of all, he used alcohol, which is a violation of the drug policy of PGA. Believe it or not, when we think of drugs, we think of marijuana, steroids, or this. But he was drinking, which is a violation as well, and he will gamble.
But he didn't gamble on golf, did he?
It doesn't make any difference if the commissioner of the sport recognizes that you are engaged in placing wages in gambling, no matter what the sport. That compromises the integrity, the image of the game. So John Daly, that's a completely different story, and I know a lot of the white media wants to bring that up. And the other thing, you know, Phil, that I need to say, and I say this with the greatest of respect, but I think that the golf fans have done nothing to help Tiger. They have sat on their couch like they do when they watch a golf tournament, which was what you do. But when you have a great star like Tiger Woods, you want to step up and help a man. And they have sat there and bug-eyed the television and say, come on, Tiger, sink another 20-foot putt. Come on, Tiger, hit another fairway. Come on, Tiger, go up and down, you know. Another birdie, another eagle. But they don't care that once he sinks that long 30-foot uphill, downhill, twist and turn and putt, and all of a sudden a virtual or cyber Mississippi trooper puts a German Shepherd on him as he's walking off the course, leaning in to get his ball, and here come a German Shepherd.
What do you mean a German Shepherd? You're talking about...
I mean a virtual German Shepherd. I mean...
Well, you're saying this is racism. This is racism.
It most certainly is racism. Now, they force him out. I understand they force out John Daly. He was an alcoholic and really not much of if you look at it, a gambler, an alcoholic, not much of a man at all. Tiger Woods did nothing to mess up golf. He messed up his marriage. I'll give you that. And yet they turned the fire hose and the dog on him. And I mean, you know, in a cyber sense. I don't mean in a literal sense.
All right, I'm going to go to some phone calls and get some feedback. 877-876-PHIL is our number. And we're talking with Gerald Fisher, freelance sports writer, on Tiger Woods leaving the game of golf for a... indeterminate amount of time. Here we have Christine. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Gerald Fisher. Christine, go ahead.
Hi. I just had some comments.
Hi.
I've got many of them, so I'm trying to get them organized. But first of all, I believe that it's not a racial issue. I believe that it's a man, right and wrong, and he's wrong. And he was put in a position of leadership, and not just in his family, which to me... that is a big deal. He let down his wife and his children. How many other families he affected, who knows? But also, he was a leader. It doesn't matter if he was playing golf or what he was doing good at. He failed at what he should have done, which was, be faithful to his wife. And that is really the extent of my comment. When he started out,
the young lady, I want to ask the young lady, where in the game of golf do you need to know about having sex with 11 women? There is nothing in the game of golf about that. So you see, there's nothing in the game of golf that has anything to do with him having these relations.
Okay.
And yet they want to fire hose him down the fairway.
Okay, where in the presidency do you need to know what he's doing in his personal life as far as Monica Lewinsky, you know? It's a leadership.
But a golfer is not the president. Golfer, not the president. You didn't elect Tiger Woods. You didn't elect Tiger Woods to be a golfer. He chose to be a golfer.
If you're a golfer, if you're an NBA, you are a human being, and you're called to a higher place of being faithful to your wife and being a good man. A good man is a good man, whether you are a president, a golfer, an MBA, or just a title man. It doesn't matter what you are. First of all, you're a man.
Well, no one called Tiger Woods. You're saying that God called him to be a golfer. I would love to see how you arrive at that.
God called him to be a golfer?
Well, you're saying that he was anointed somehow to be a golfer. He was called to a higher place. He got to the higher place by being a very diligent athlete, learning his sport, and playing it to the highest level.
Well, if I would say that God called him to be anything, I would say, first of all, he called him to be a husband and a father. Golf would be secondary, but I never said that in the first place. I just said,
you said he was called, but the fact that he has had a German Shepherd, a cyber German Shepherd turn on him, do you have a comment on that?
When you say a cyber German Shepherd, he's what you're saying, Gerald, you're using these racial terms.
Well, again, Phil, I think your audience need to be educated a little bit. That when a black man is told, you go over and go back to the shack and sit down because we don't have any use for you right now. You were seen with a white woman. That is like taking a fire hose and blasting him clean out of his Mercedes. And that was my comment.
Well, as far as someone being upset and using their anger to try to control a situation, that's wrong in anybody's mind.
Yeah, I agree with you.
The point is not that he's black or she's white or they're white. The point is that he's a man. And he can be just as faithful as a black man as he can be unfaithful as a black man. That it doesn't matter what your color is.
All right, I understand that.
Okay, we'll be back. Phil Henry. I have Gerald Fisher with me, a freelance sports writer. We're talking with Gerald, as well as with you, our listeners at 877-876-PHIL, about Tiger Woods now leaving the game of golf. I got to tell you, I feel bad about it. I know that it's a drag. You know, his personal life's a drag, but I feel bad personally that I don't get to watch this guy golf. I mean, you know, we've brought up on the show many times the failings of men. They don't diminish the great things they achieve, and we've got countless examples of them through history. Many of them are leaders. Are we making a big deal out of Tiger Woods, Gerald, because of the fact, you know, a bigger deal out of him than should be? He's a golfer, you know?
Well, you know, Phil, I wrote a letter to, an email to Timothy Fincham, he's the PGA commissioner, and I said to him, if you want, look at the film footage from the 1960 of them fire hosing black people down the street and fire hosing them into the doorway. I said, I know that's not what you're doing. I said, but you are doing a World Wide Web version of that by fire hosing Tiger Woods up into his Jaguar. He can't get out of his Jaguar. You got to fire hose him so he can't come out on the golf lane. Now Tiger Woods has done everything that has been asked of him. His sponsors have had him wear lime green. They have.
What is the significance of lime green?
It's just not a color that you would see a black man wear. It is not. It just isn't a color that we would wear. But sponsors have asked him to put on lime green. They have asked him to endorse every kind of hinky thing that you can imagine. He's done everything that's been asked of him, and I think it's very, very wrong that a young man has a. Moral breakdown, if you will. He has been told by Timothy Fincham, a white man, Irish white man too, and that's the other humiliation of Tiger Woods wearing lime green. This is an Irishman making a black man wear green is a offensive to every African American out there. And I think Timothy Fincham should come out like a man, and say, yes, I am responsible. I told that boy to go sit down on his, you know, house, and I'll call him when I need him.
Those are some pretty, you know.
I know those words sting. Yeah.
I mean, that's going to stick. You're going to get some angry people.
I call, as the man said, I call as I see it, and this is what my job is, sports writing. And Timothy Fincham, a white Irishman who forced a brother to wear a lime green shirt and then gets to kick fire hose that man back in his Jaguar.
All right, 877-876-PHIL.
I just think it's wrong, Phil.
But I don't like seeing a guy walk away, but to say that there's a racial component that he was forced out, I don't know where the evidence of that really truly is. Here is Jack. Wait a minute, Jack. Before I go to you, I want to get to a... caller that was been hanging on a little bit longer. This is Renee in Irvine, California. Renee, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Gerald Fisher. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I just want to say that I don't understand the basis of the guest argument with because Tiger Woods has the 12 white women that he had an affair with, how that is the reason or that is the... how that's offensive to, or excuse me, why that is the reason that the sponsors don't support him anymore, as if his wife isn't white. So that all the time that his wife was white, they were supporting him. But all of a sudden, now that he has the 12 white women, now they they're totally outraged by that. Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Gerald, you want to comment on that, Gerald?
Yeah, I'll comment on the young lady, her statement. I think when you have a black man who has associated with and has married a white woman, there is precedent for that in our society. When you look at Sammy Davis Jr. or you look at Jack Johnson, other sporting. But when you have a young man who has broken into a predominantly white sport in a way that has humiliated Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, I mean, he has taken all these trophies. And then on top of that, he not only has a beautiful white wife at home, he got 11 other ones that he can call up on his iPhone or Blacktop, I don't know what those things called.
Blackberry?
His Blackberry, yeah. That's too much for the Irishmen who run the PGA. They try to humiliate him with a lime green golf talk, but he kept on winning anyway.
And are you telling me that they made him wear lime green to somehow mess with his head?
It messed with the head with an African-American. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And so that's what I hope that answers the young lady.
It actually doesn't. I don't see the basis.
I'm sorry.
The whole reason for like anti-miscegenation laws and all of those such laws were to avoid reproduction between black and white. So how I could understand the logic of them being outraged by him reproducing and producing these half white and half.
Yes.
Quote-unquote black
is
children,
correct.
However,
that is correct.
Did
yes.
state, as far as I do recall, he did state that he was not black. And so that's another, you know...
Well, but you know, when you look issue. At... I didn't know that a man could say he's not black, and that makes it so. I live in America. I think people judge that for themselves. I don't think a black man has any choice in the matter, whether he says he's black or white. I think what you see, you know... When you look at Tiger Woods, you look at a black man.
That have brown skin that are not actually black.
Yeah, sure. And oh, sure. Yeah, I know. That's all.
She is of
okay.
descent.
Whatever you say.
Just by looking at someone, you can't actually determine their race.
But they didn't want to have a lot of little... But I think you made the point very good. You say they don't want a lot of the little half-breed run, a lot of mulatto, mongrelized golfers in this. You know, so...
Boy, you're using a lot of really charged mongrelized golfers and little half-breeds running around.
Well, that's a nightmare for any member of the PGA that you got Tiger Woods to contend with, and now he is going to be producing with 11 different women mongrelized versions of himself that go out and do some kind of mutant golf where everything's a hole-in-one. It could wreck the sport. It could wreck the sport.
But the whole basis of going by the history that we have of marriage, the whole basis of marriage is...
I thought I already...
I'm sorry?
I thought I explained it to you. Well, I thought I already explained it to you.
Certainty. No, because
yeah, already,
your point
but
is
I already explained it to you.
It's not made clear. The whole point
All right, let me say this.
Uh-huh.
If you fire hose, if you get the fire department to fire hose a black man down the street so he rolled down the street, you can see that happening to Tiger Woods, getting fire hose down a fairway.
You know, and
he
I
rolled,
have to say,
you know, and holding on to his driver. You know.
Well, what is that about getting that fire hose down a? Yeah, I don't know, man.
I'm a little. I have to say that I'm a little, and I don't want to be disrespectful to you, but I'm black, and
certainly,
I'm
offended
by your association of fire hosing, and of course I have respect for black history and the respect for the continued oppression of my people, but it seems that the
of
problem
course, yeah.
is your mm-hmm. association of something that Tiger Woods should take responsibility for because it was his infidelity that placed him
exactly.
in the position that he's in. Instead
I mean, Gerald, that, yeah,
like,
that's the point.
Yes, that's the point.
Uh-huh.
Not,
yeah.
That is a very good, that's a very good point. Gerald, how do you respond to that?
I never said anything about the man doing right when he's with 11 women. I just wonder what that has to do with his golf. And when they say you can't play golf anymore for a year, they're basically, he can't even get out of his Jaguar. They got a fire hose turned on, flooding the interior of his car.
What do you mean flooding the interior of his car? I mean, that's not really a fire. You said it's a cyber fire hose.
It is a virtual fire hose, yeah. And Tiger Woods getting virtually rolled down a road, and he's rolling all the way down. He over bunkers and down into, you know, all kinds of like those pot bunkers. They fire hose them into a pot bunker.
All right, I got to move on to another call, Renee. I thank your call.
Okay,
thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Tony, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Gerald Fisher. Go ahead, please.
I don't think that young lady understood what I was saying.
Go ahead, Tony. Yeah, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say that
Hi.
I have never once thought of this as a racial issue. I am offended by your guest. I think this is a case where Tiger Woods set himself up, and rightly so, as a role model for people throughout the world, for children, families, and was living a lie and has never once taken responsibility for that I've seen, except for some vague statements that he's written, has never really taken responsibility for what he's done. I think that's a shame
you feel that way, ma'am, because you are African American, I take it.
I'm not African American, but I never thought of it.
Oh,
as
well, then I don't. It's not really. That's not
African-American.
Really relevant. That's not relevant. Then you know.
Why isn't that relevant?
Well, she's a white woman. You're a white woman, so that what you're
yes,
not relevant.
But I'm a Jewish woman, and
yeah.
I never thought of Monica
Lewinsky. Not the same.
Jewish. I think that this guy has a responsibility. To the golf world and to the world in general. He's the most successful golfer in the world, and he's more than an athlete, and he always has been more than an athlete. He has multi-million dollars worth of endorsements. Kids follow him.
You understand that you're a Jewish lady. You should not speak of Tiger Woods like he's JC off a cross. You know, this man, last I checked, didn't raise the dead, you know. He played a good game of golf. I followed him ever since he's a young man. But he didn't heal no leper. He didn't bring a man out of a tomb. He didn't heal twitching.
It's not a religious issue.
Well, but you said
I never thought of it as a religious issue. I never.
He never healed a man to twitch. You know, he never healed a man twitching on the ground.
I think you are absolutely making this a racist issue, and it has absolutely.
Yeah. I think what's really uncomfortable here, Gerald, is when you say fire hosing him back into his Jaguar.
Look, Mr. Henry, I told you this is a cyber worldwide web fire hosing. It's not a literal thing, but it's the same thing.
I agree that the
worldwide, web has fire hosed him.
Has done some amazingly bad taste things.
They've turned a German Shepherd on. And, you know, when he goes on a golf course and he sinks a 20-foot putt and a German Shepherd attack him.
Hello?
Yeah, we're here. Go ahead. I'm laughing at the image of a German Shepherd attacking.
He had a German Shepherd set on him.
He has gotten a bad deal by the web. But so what? Millions of other people have gotten a bad deal.
So what?
Suck it up.
Man's got. How about if you got a bad deal? How about if you got a bad deal? Would that be all right? Should I say so what?
If I made a mistake like that, I'd stand and admit it. It has nothing to do with the fact that he's a black man and that his wife is white. Nothing. Nothing.
Well, he did admit it. He did admit it, and they still told him, boy, you best get now.
Don't let the sun go down on you.
Oh, now, wait a minute. What is that?
They said, but you know that them white men there at the PGA said, boy, you best get, and don't let the sun go down on you, man.
Whoa, man. I mean, what is this, don't let the sun go down on you?
Well, you know that Timothy Fincham there, PGA, is a white man.
I don't even understand.
He loves to clown Tiger Woods. He wants to put him in.
You should know that Tiger Woods has a role in our community, the world community.
No, that's just it. All he does is hit a little ball.
And
he hits a little ball with a stick.
Pardon me?
That's all he does, man. All he does is hit a little ball with a stick. And then he goes over and they clap.
No.
And he goes, yay. And he takes a check, you know.
He is a role model for children. He is a role model for people. He learned as a child to play. He is the greatest golfer in the world. I admired him tremendously. Now I see
that
he
is. I thought he was,
I really don't like him now.
Well, I always knew he was a great golfer, but as a man, I thought he was a if you don't mind me saying, ma'am, I always thought he was a bit of a turd, you know.
Because
I never liked
such an
him.
Innocent guy.
No, he was a great golfer, but I always thought he was stupid. Wasn't too bright. He wasn't good with conversation. Couldn't talk about nothing.
Well, that's your opinion.
He was a boring.
About his personality. I cared only about his.
Well, yes, you did. You loved him. You said he was the most greatest thing since Christ off the cross.
I admired him. Yes, I admired.
Talk about
him
healing a twitching epileptic and everything. You know, and
no, she never said anything about him healing twitching epileptics.
No, I admired.
About the man.
Always admired.
Well, you're talking about the man like he. You talk about the man like he. He heal a cripple. You know, he can't heal no cripple.
All right, look, I got to take a break, Tony. Thank you very much for your call. Great call. 877-876-PHIL. Try to squeeze another call in. Anita in Manhattan, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead with Gerald Fisher.
Thank you. I'm
talking about Tiger Woods like he heal a cripple, man. He never done that.
No, no one's saying that. Go ahead, Anita.
Yes, I would like to say that the issue is not Tiger Woods. The issue that is very important on what you're discussing is what this Gerald Fisher is doing with these reprehensible metaphors about fire hoses and German Shepherd.
And this
being forced to wear a shirt. This man is ill. He should be taken right off the air.
No, ma'am.
He should not even be waiting.
No black man, Timothy Fincham, who was the PGA commissioner, to get his kicks, forced Tiger Woods to pair lime green.
Who? Proof that he forced him?
Well, I will tell you how I have proof.
That's your
no
opinion?
Black man would ever wear a color like that. That is not a black color. They'll wear purples, as you know. They'll wear blacks, as you know. They'll wear banana yellow. But you'll never wear lime green. And for Timothy Fincher, who's a white man, he's a white man, run by it's a white sport.
You are a black racist. And black racists have no place.
You know what a racist is? That's somebody who loses an argument.
You should be taken off the air.
A racist is somebody who's winning an argument.
And your metaphors are misleading
people
that are listening to you.
No, ma'am. Now, I resent another Jewish woman calling, and that makes two in a row. So I got a double hit here.
I'm Jewish.
Yeah, okay.
Well, what is that? What does that mean?
Mr. Henry, you plant two Jew women
in
a row.
A Phil?
In a row.
This man does not deserve.
Whoa.
Mr. Henry, I don't find it very reasonable for you to have a Jewish lady call in from California, and you tag-team me with a Jewish lady from New York. You tag-teamed me, didn't you?
No, I don't know these callers.
Well, then you line them up. I got a Jew on line one and a Jew on line seven. You don't do that?
No, I don't do that. I'll take a break. Thank you, Anita, for your call. 877-876-PHIL with Gerald Fisher and Tiger Woods. And who exactly did...
Is Anita there? Is she gone?
Yes, she's gone. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Doctor, you know.
Phil Henry.
Those Jews got a lot of time on their hand on them.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. We're going to hold Gerald over, if you don't mind, Gerald.
I don't mind that at all. I did want to make a couple of points to the one Jewish lady that had just called.
Well, we'll get to those points, but I want to get to another phone call. Gerald Fisher with us from speaking basically about Tiger Woods leaving golf today for a while. Here is Jack in Massachusetts. Jack, you're on a Phil Henry Show with Gerald Fisher. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, thank you, Phil.
Yes,
I've
sir.
Been listening for about an hour, and I've got to say I'm just astounded by what I've heard. Let me make a couple points. First of all, you know, trying to put a racist spin on this, to me, makes no sense. If Phil Mickelson had done the same thing that Tiger Woods has done, he would have been treated exactly the same way. In the media, he would be in Tiger Woods' situation entirely. To say that this has anything to do with Tiger being black is absurd. But let me make a couple other points here.
Well, I don't know how you can back that up, though. You know, you don't, because that's not happened to Phil Mickelson. We know it's happened to Tiger Woods, you know. We know it's happened to him.
What's your point? I'm saying that it would.
The point is, I think you're speculating. I have reality, and you have speculation.
You have
my reality.
I haven't heard one fact out of it tonight. And most journalists...
Tiger Woods has left golf. Tiger Woods has left golf.
That's,
we know that.
That's a fact. That's
it's the result that he has lost advertisers. We know he lost advertisers. We know that.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the PGA has taken no action whatsoever against Tiger Woods.
The PGA is in bed with the advertisers. Don't you know? You must know the PGA
is in bed with the advertisers. We've heard enough of you for tonight,
yeah.
Okay?
But let they have say, put, they put a, that thing. Jewish lady, she wants
hey,
to be put in a fire oven. And,
I don't want, yeah, don't, let's not go there.
Well, that lady doesn't like the fire hose image, but if I put her in an oven.
Just go ahead, sir.
What about the cyber oven?
Tiger Woods has been on the PGA Tour for 12 years. During that time, he's not only established himself as the premier golfer in the world, but he is respected or has been respected and admired by the whole golfing community. And keep in mind...
Except for Fuzzy Zeller. Except for Fuzzy Zeller.
He is white.
Fuzzy Zeller said he wanted to have chicken and watermelon at the Masters dinner, didn't he?
Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods.
Remember that?
Will you listen to me for a
second? Do you know that Fuzzy Zeller said he wanted to have chicken or not? You know he said that, right?
Tiger Woods commands billions of dollars from Nike.
Fuzzy Zeller is Fuzzy Zeller the liar.
I love it. Phil Hendry.
This hour of Phil Hendry is brought to you by Dynapep Micro Energy Shot.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The report says Hayden then snuck into a neighbor's house through an unlocked front door.
Fire or medic.
I would not bet she's suing for divorce, because if she's suing for divorce...
Had you read the book?
No.
I hadn't read the book.
You know how many people like guns and dips?
Things are bad.
Yeah, things are bad, man. This is the world famous Phil. They're about to get a whole lot better, baby. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show, Through the Looking Glass, the show that shows a reality where reality is our bitch, and a little bit about yourself. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. You can also visit our website, philhendryshow.com, and watch me right now, right this very minute, as we perform our show every night. You can listen to live streaming audio as well. You can listen to our audio archives. We've got years and years and years and years, and you can also watch our five-day video archive. And visit us at Twitter as well tonight. You can follow along behind the scenes. It's our only... It is. We have a whole bunch of Twitter pages, but I know Bud and Robert and Rance and Rodriguez are over there, and they talk to you guys during the show. Twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show. Tonight, a drunk four-year-old, and I'm not kidding, a drunk four-year-old in drag, wearing a dress, robs, I'm not joking here, a drunk four-year-old in drag robs Christmas gifts from neighbors. Al Franken shuts Joe Lieberman up in the Senate, and a Florida man is exonerated after 35 years behind bars. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Joining us right now, though, with a discussion on the latest, and part of that discussion on the latest in healthcare has to do with Joe Lieberman and Al Franken. It was a protocol, what do they call, procedural matter, which turned into a little bit of a controversy because one of them was asking for more time and the other guy said, no, you can't have it. But we're going to have on the line with us right now David G. Hall, who is the president of our syndication arm here at the Phil Hendry Show, to talk a little bit about the health care plan, President Obama, and just other things that he has been watching from the standpoint of audience research, what the American people are responding to in terms of news. And David is joining us from his offices in Los Angeles. David, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Phil, and I appreciate very much you having me on your program tonight, because I think it's important for the American people, especially your listeners, to be clear on some of the stands that you've been taking on your program, and hopefully tonight we'll be able to do that, to clarify where you stand on the health care plan, but more importantly, where you stand on President Obama, because he's become quite the lightning rod, as you know, and we've had a lot of very confused people who don't quite understand, and I have to admit I'm one of them, what you mean when you talk about Obama being more conservative than he appears to be. Now, I know you predicted this, which you talked about a lot on the air.
Well, I mean, what I said during the campaign, I said that Obama is going to surprise far more people in his own party than he will in the opposite party, and he's going to be far more pragmatic than people are going to be comfortable with, and he's going to be far more aggressive, I think, on the international scene. But I don't see that as a surprise.
Well, I can tell you that it is a surprise. You read the news, as I am, and we find that the American people, especially progressives, and as well as a lot of conservatives, are troubled by the fact that you made a prediction, and I'm not saying you, I'm saying they're troubled by the fact that Obama appears to be much more conservative than they believe he is, and the fact that you had talked about this confuses people. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't. I don't.
But what I'm saying is essentially this. Everybody on the conservative side thought they had it figured out. Everybody on the progressive side thought they had it figured out.
And they didn't.
No, they didn't, but you were talking about this during the campaign, and now what has essentially happened is that people are even more confused because he is the very man you said he would be, and the audience is sort of rejecting this. And they're rejecting the notion that you predicted it. That's what I'm trying to say.
Are you talking about some sort of research that you did?
We did research. We did a focus group, a group of your listeners who believe you are, on any given night, a liberal. Some think that you're a conservative. But when we bring up the fact that you predicted Obama was going to be a lot more conservative than he appears to be, they get very angry. I guess the only way to describe it is angry.
Why are they angry?
Because it is, frankly, very insightful of you, but it doesn't do us much good in keeping an audience because they feel, I guess the word is stupid. Now, here is the reason why I really wanted to come on your program tonight.
Well, not to interrupt you, but stupid, I wouldn't call it stupid. I think it's pretty traditional of people to believe that politicians are, if they call themselves a Democrat, they must be a liberal. If they call themselves a Republican, they must be a conservative. And so people just kind of adhere to that. They never really see politicians, especially guys that are running for president, as people.
But what the problem is, you're getting too, if I can use the word, you're getting too fancy. You're getting a little too clever with the way you present things on your program. People, you and I can say that the audience may not be smart enough for you to understand, for them to understand what you're saying. But it's true. You have to make the audience feel better by saying something that makes them not feel so stupid. Do you understand?
Are you telling me the audience feels stupid because I predicted that Obama would be a lot more conservative and they didn't believe me and he turned out to be?
I guess you could say in a nutshell, that's really the problem because, as I said, we've done these focus groups that show people realize that you were right to a degree, but they don't want to believe it. Now, your listeners need analysis that's very easy to understand. Your analysis has got to be in sync with whatever your audience already thinks. Anything other than that is too advanced for the audience.
It's very interesting, David, to get on the air here and hear you talking about the audience in this way is kind of funny because they're listening to this.
The audience is listening, but the person that's listening to us right now, he is saying, well, they're not talking about me. They must be talking about somebody else because I'm smart enough to understand anything a talk show host has to say.
And well, why are you saying that that's not the case?
I'm saying overall. I'm giving you an example of how you deal with that. It's nothing to worry about. If I say to you that the audience is having a difficult time understanding you, it's not going to hurt us to say that.
All right, so your essential point is that my analysis is too complex?
It's too complex, and it's not in sync with what the audience is already thinking about Obama. So anything other than that is too advanced.
Well, what if it is my opinion, as it was during the campaign, that Obama was going to come out a lot more conservative in the end than a lot of people were comfortable with?
It doesn't make any difference. People don't understand it. They didn't understand it then. They're not understanding it now. And when you say that Obama is more of a pragmatist and more of a conservative, all the conservatives here is you apologizing for Obama, which makes you a liberal. When you say that Obama is a lot more of a conservative and a lot more of a pragmatist than he appeared to be, all the progressives think is that you're a conservative. So you have to say something that is going to reflect the intelligence level of the audience that's out there in talk radio. And this is not the comment on your audience, Phil. I'm talking about the general intelligence level of the audience as it exists. You know, I'm looking right now at news coverage of the healthcare debate, and there's all kinds of discussion going on. Nobody is saying, well, you know, Obama really turned out to be... What they're saying is that he... A lot of people are saying that he lied.
He lied. I mean, I knew that he would probably come out a lot more conservative on these issues. So, in my opinion, he didn't lie.
Look, you need to make your analysis easy enough for... I'm going to put it to you in a way that you're going to understand. You've got to make it easy enough for a third grader to understand. I've been in this business for years. And I'll bet you a steak dinner that the majority of your listeners right now couldn't name the current vice president. That is...
Oh, come on.
No, that is how dumb they are. Now, you know...
You're on the air here calling people dumb.
But again, the individual listener doesn't think I'm talking about him.
Well, let me ask you, are you?
I'm going to repeat what I said. The individual listener doesn't think I'm talking about him. You have to make it so easy a third grader can understand it. And it has to be a message that is reflective...
But you said it has to be a message that conservatives and liberals right now will agree with.
And that's why I said you need to say that Obama's a liar.
And in what way is he a liar?
I'm not saying that you need to tell your audience that Obama has lied, that he's stabbing the progressives in the back, and it's true to his nature so that the conservatives won't feel as stupid as they, I guess they probably should. You know,
well, why are conservatives all right, in other words, Obama's not back. He's not holding the line on the public option. He's not holding the line on the some of these other things, maybe the ban on abortion or I don't know.
It doesn't make any difference. You're getting too technical again. I'm saying the level of a third grader. So you have to say Obama is a liar. And that what he said to the progressive voters and what he has said to the conservative voters, he's inconsistent. You have to use some keywords that the audience will identify with. He lied or he betrayed. He's a sellout.
Now, these are all focus group tested words. I understand that, David. Is it accurate?
It doesn't make any difference whether it's accurate or not. I'm trying to give you an idea as to how to keep that audience level and that audience interest where it should be. If they don't hear you say that Obama's a liar and a thief, they're not going to understand.
Well, the average...
Are you listening to what I'm saying? Are you arguing with me?
I'm not arguing with you. Just can I make a comment?
Go ahead. Very brief, because if I understand, you got to... Bud, does he have to do a break?
Yeah, about 3 seconds.
All right. The average right-wing conservative believes Obama's a liar and has betrayed people.
Right, but that average right-wing conservative also feels kind of stupid because they see Obama committing troops to Afghanistan. They see Obama giving a speech about war, accepting the Nobel Prize. They see Obama holding out a carrot to the conservatives on his public option. So they don't exactly feel good about how bright they are right now. As far as the progressives go, they feel pretty stupid that they didn't see what you saw. Okay, I'll give you that.
So I have to say that Obama is a liar.
You have to give the talk radio listener whose intelligence is about at the level of a third grader, as I said, and I'm not trying to defend anybody, but I think they understand. Give them something they can hold on to, that they can understand.
Yeah, but David, I'm going to be doing 45 minutes from this point forward with the break on what a big liar Obama is and what a betrayer of principles he is.
And in so doing, you get people on your side. And in this sense, both progressives and Republicans. But you've got to do it in a way so people don't feel even more stupid than they do today because of what you were talking about and how they feel about it.
I thought I was giving them some insight.
You're not giving them any insight. What do you mean you're giving them insight? All you did was confuse them by saying, oh, Obama, he's a pragmatist, he's probably more conservative. People don't understand that. Tell them what I told you. And tell them what they want to hear, which is that, you know, you're not that stupid. Obama is a liar and a lowlife and you could even probably use the word traitor.
I'm not going to get into that, okay?
Well, I'm saying it's not going to hurt you.
I could call Obama a traitor and it's not going to hurt me.
No, not. I'm telling you, it's a word they understand. They know who Benedict Arnold was. They know what a traitor is.
Even if it isn't accurate.
What?
Even if it isn't accurate.
Matter. It's a word that is emotionally charged. It's a focus group word.
All right. Hold the line, David. We'll be back with David G. Hall. President Obama's opposition to certain aspects of the health care plan, President Obama giving a war speech in front of the Nobel Committee, President Obama committing troops to Afghanistan, President Obama talking tough about a lot of different things. He's got progressives now thinking he's a conservative. In fact, they've called him a neocon. And he's got a lot of conservatives wondering if they were stupid not to see this in the first place. In any event, let me just, I know, Obama's a liar, okay? And that's supposed to make you guys feel better about not seeing how conservative he was really going to be. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And, yes, David.
Look, what I'm asking, Phil, do you agree with, ask the people, do they agree with me or not?
David, I know how to do a talk show.
Ask them if they agree with me that it's better that we just call the guy a liar.
All right, do you agree with David that it's better we just call Obama a liar?
And you can use the word traitor.
I don't want to use that word. Or traitor. All right, 877-876-PHIL, the world famous. It's better that we just call Obama a liar. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Well, you messed that up, man.
No, I did not. I'm trying to follow you.
Well, you butchered that.
Phil Hendry.
Beyond recognition.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
We're back with David G. Hall, a vice president of syndication for the Phil Hendry Show, as we talk about the Obama presidency, the health care bill, and what audiences understand about the debate and what they don't understand about the debate. And David, you had, and we'll take some of your phone calls coming up here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. You want me to talk to the audience as if they're stupid?
Well, let me, I don't want to use that word, but I've got to find a way to impart to you, when you talk about Obama in these very complex ways, look at the success of Bill O'Reilly, look at the success of Sean Hannity, look at the success of Glenn Beck. Why are they successful? I think you said it very well. They lie to their audience. They treat them, and I'm going to use a word here, Phil, that I don't want.
They lie to their audience.
Yeah, for the most part, they lie to their audience. I'm going to use a word here that I know you're not going to like, but I've got to use this word. It's very descriptive. O'Reilly, Hannity, and Beck treat their audience like they're a bunch of retards. That's why they get ratings.
Yeah, you're right. I don't like that word.
I've got to use the word because it's descriptive. They get ratings because they talk really slow to them, and they say, and here is how you, and Obama is, and when Obama does something very complex, like he takes a conservative position, even though he's a liberal, you say to them, well, he is a liar. You don't exaggerate it like that.
And boy, I can only imagine talking about this the way we're talking about it on the air.
Hold on for a minute. Do you know who listens to talk radio? Truckers, security guards, housewives, and a lot of people that probably think they're smart. But are they smart? They can barely read. And I'll give you an example. There's a TV show called Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Have you heard about it?
Yeah, Ralph was telling me about it.
All right. You know why that show's so popular? Because we've got a country filled with people that O'Reilly thinks are retards, and they're not even sure they're smarter than a 10-year-old. So they watch that show to justify their existence. See what I'm saying?
And you're pretty sure that the audience listening to what you're saying right now is not insulted by what you're saying?
I think the individual is saying, I'm not the guy that he's talking about. But you've got to talk to them like they wear a bicycle helmet, because you saying, oh, Obama, he's not as liberal as you think, and he's not as conservative as you think, They don't get that. They don't. They're going to go over. They're going to listen to Beck, who talks real slow and says, "Here is the president. This is what he looks like. He lives in this house." And of course, I'm exaggerating.
Well, yeah, you're exaggerating a little bit, but not much, I don't think. Let me take a phone call. Our number 877-876-PHIL with David G. Hall, Phil Hendry here, talking about the president, the health care plan, and understanding all of it. Randy in San Antonio, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with David G. Hall. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to, calling the American people, you know, the comprehension of a third grader. It is insulting. It is insulting to
I said fifth grader.
Fifth graders, third graders, doesn't matter. Still in elementary school, man. And basically, I mean, me and my generation, I'm a young American. You know, I'm in my 20s, and I listen to the show, and, yeah, I listen to...
Do you think Obama's a conservative? Do you think Obama's a conservative or a liberal?
Yeah, you know, I really could care less whether he's a conservative or a liberal.
In other words, you don't know. And that's why I'm telling Phil that he's got to slow down when he talks to you.
I really could care less about the ratings on what you're talking about. You're totally off topic. What I care about...
No, we're talking about ratings. We're talking about getting people to listen to the show. And the way to get people to listen to the show is to talk to them. And I'm not you. I'm not saying you.
It's to lie to them and
talk to them.
It's to lie to them and tell them that they have no actual comprehension on what they have to do.
I'm saying, no, don't say that. But you have to talk to them like they are mentally retarded. And so you say, look at this. This is the house that's called the White House. I'm serious. I know it's not you I'm talking about, Randy, but I mean the rest of these people. What's that?
But I mean, you know, the general public, to me, it seems, you know, when me and my friends sit around and listen to the show,
that's real interesting.
Good points.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show with David G. Hall, and just how bright the talk radio audience is.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Coming up later in the show, we have Raj Faneen to talk to us about a new study that says white people, Caucasians, however you want to put it, European Americans, will be in the minority in this country by the middle of the next century. We also have Vernon Dozier to talk about the Tiger Woods situation. David G. Hall, Vice President of Syndication, is with us as we talk about the audience and their understanding of Obama and the health care issue. You're telling me, David, and you're using this word retard, which you know people find offensive.
That they do find it offensive, but I'm having to explain to you how Bill O'Reilly, how this Beck character and the rest of these guys. Look, do you want to be rich or do you want to be right?
I never thought the two were mutually exclusive. You know.
Do you want to be rich or do you want to be right? That's my question.
I stick with my answer.
Well, let's say that you want to be rich. You know, I saw Bill O'Reilly's house on Google Maps. They got a street view of it. It's a very beautiful home. It's right out in the ocean in Long Island. You want to know why? Because Bill O'Reilly knows how to talk to the audience. And he talks to them the way they are. He knows that his audience drinks beer, they smoke cigarettes, they go to ball games, and maybe they beat their wives.
All right, so all of that means they wouldn't understand an analysis of Obama that says that the man is pragmatic.
They don't know what that means. They know that he's either a liberal or a conservative. I'm telling you, Phil, because I work with our advertisers, if you care at all about money and ratings, you've got to use the race card.
Come on, will you?
No, you've got to use the race. I know it sounds bad and it goes against maybe what you believe. You've got to go with race. You've got to go with the fact that Obama's black and that he lies. And if that doesn't work, then you've got to move into an area that is going to make both progressives and conservatives happy.
All right, well, we got some phone calls, okay?
Let's take a phone call.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. David G. Hall with us. And may I quote you?
Yeah, you can quote me. About what?
That the average talk radio listener has to be talked to like he's a retard.
I said that's what Bill O'Reilly does.
And that's what I ought to do.
Yes.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Jason. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with David G. Hall. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I don't know what this guy's trying to do. I think he's trying to get his 15 minutes of fame in or something. But I listen to you.
No, I can be famous any night I want because I'm the vice president of syndication. I'm telling through what the audience wants to hear.
Well, that's good for you. But the audience wants to hear what's happening out here in the world, whether it's in your lingo or not. Most of us can't understand it because we're up this late, and that's another reason why his ratings might be lower than somebody else's because of his slot in the radio rating.
Wait a minute. You're telling me my business now? Are you telling me my business? Because I'm telling you, you're wrong. Phil Hendry needs to say more. You want to hear him say that Obama is a liar, don't you?
You know, what I want to hear is my opinion. Now, what is actually going on?
Well, it's the same. In other words, you don't want to hear what's the truth. You don't want to hear the truth. You just want to hear your opinion.
I don't want to hear
That's what I'm telling him.
That's why I'm in the CNN.
That's why I tell Phil to tell everybody that Obama is a liar, is a lying black, you know.
Look, don't get off that race card thing, man. I ain't going to go there. I don't care if it makes me the wealthiest man on earth.
Bill O'Reilly does it.
When you are on the air, it should not be about wealth. It should be about getting the information to the people. And if I don't know a word, my vocabulary is not that big, but I go home and I look it up.
All right. Obama's a liar, don't you?
My opinions of Obama are my opinions, and I do not give that opinion because of the fact that other people have their opinions. Some of them are set in stone. Some of them aren't. You're just going to run into an argument.
You hear this guy running in circles? He doesn't know what he's talking about. That's what I mean. When Beck and these guys say, talk to them like they're retards, you know.
You got a gentleman on the phone. Have a little respect.
I heard him talk over the other person, not even giving her a chance to talk, or him, sorry, the volume was low. So
it was a her.
I know his kind.
You don't even know if somebody is a man or a woman. All I'm saying, sir, is we're trying to give you what you want, which is that Obama is very uppity.
Oh, come on, man. I mean, I understand if you don't think people are intelligent, that's one thing. Calling them racist.
I didn't say that, did I? It's just playing to where, you know, these people are. When you talk to this guy, is he still on the air?
Yeah, we're talking to James.
Oh, I thought he hung up.
Go ahead, James. I want to hear what you have to say. And David, if you don't mind.
It's Jason.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine. But we just want to know what's going on out there, the information that you
have.
And we want to know the truth.
Whatever.
I have not met a term that I have not known from your radio. If I do, I would look them up because I would want to know a new vocabulary word.
Rabbi.
I'm not going to... My education does not shut off.
Do you know what a rabbi is?
Do I know what a rabbi is?
Yes.
I do believe
okay, that makes you smarter than most of the people I'm talking about. So I'm not even talking about you. I'm talking about everybody else.
You say that?
You know what a rabbi is?
That's just saying that. You know what that's telling me? That's telling me that you're calling in because you don't understand what he's saying.
No, I'm the guy that markets his show. I'm not calling in because I'm a listener. I'm telling him what sells. And for Hendry to get more listeners, he has to talk to people. But Jason, I can tell you have the IQ. Can I say something? He's going to be upset. But you've got the IQ of a rattle, and you don't.
Oh, that's really You don't expect the guy to be upset about that, huh?
I don't think he understands how easy it is. I can get Phil to play you, and get you riled up, and get you to buy from his advertisers.
All right, look, I appreciate your call, Jason. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. This is the technique, then, huh?
I'm telling you, the guy that I just talked to has the IQ of a baby's rattle. Now,
whatever that is, I guess that's pretty low, huh?
No, and it's pretty standard for the talk radio listener. What we're trying to do is get you to speak the language of the listener, the way Sean Hannity does when he says, this guy, Obama, how do you like this guy? He ought to be grateful we put him where he is, because we don't usually, you know, put a black guy there, and look what he's doing. He's, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what Hannity says, but what he says, people want to hear. And it has a lot to do with, you know, saying that Obama is a lying, traitorous, you know, fill in the blank.
Well, I don't know that that is necessarily why he gets ratings.
That's exactly why he gets ratings.
And the last guy you heard say he wants the truth.
No, he doesn't.
You just heard that young man.
No, he doesn't want the truth. You have to understand, they don't want the truth. They want you to talk. This is Obama. He, you know, bad, bad, bad. You could do that, Phil. You could say Obama bad all 3 hours, and you'd get better numbers than you got right now.
You serious, huh?
I'm like a heart attack.
I don't believe you, all right?
Well, the last caller, you know when I said that caller's a retard? That was a retard. Don't worry. I know what I'm doing.
You know what, man? I'm telling you right now, if you don't get mail tomorrow, 877-876-PHIL. Patrick, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with David G. Hall. Yes, sir.
Yes, David, I take as an insulting remark what you said about people being retards, and I list a lot of the...
You know, the way you say that word, retard, it sounds like you're a fake cult.
Oh, sure.
What do you mean?
It sounds to me like he's putting on that accent. See, I know.
No, I'm from the South. I am from...
Yeah, oh, no, oh, really? Oh, wow, I thought you were from New York.
All right, let him say what he wants to say.
I think this guy's yanking me.
I can't be that stupid. But
the accent's fake, though. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Alabama.
What city?
No matter what my accent is.
Yeah, it does. What city?
I'm from Oregon.
Yeah, you're not. He's not from Alabama. Go ahead, I'll play your game. What do you want? Yeah, sure. You're from Birmingham. Good one. Did you check a map or did you do that from memory?
All right. What was your?
Oh, your truck driver from Birmingham, Alabama, huh? Well, this guy's unique.
All right, okay. What did you want to say, sir? I can't even hear this guy, man. Shut up, David.
That's true. He interrupts when you're talking. You know, it takes somebody to do that yourself. But I just...
You're from Birmingham, Alabama, is what you said, right, Patrick?
Yes, originally I'm a truck driver. I'm in Tampa, Florida.
Yeah,
right?
No, you've said you're a truck driver.
What kind of truck you got? I think this guy's fake.
Well, what has he got to say? Go ahead.
What I mean, I think you're fake.
Well, let me tell you something. I know where I'm from, and it's from a very unique city. It's not something I just threw a dart at and said, oh, that's the capital of Alabama. I'll say I'm from there.
Well, you know, you...
All right, okay, all right. Patrick, I gotta run. I appreciate it. We're wasting time here, David, all right?
I'm not talking to some guy that's calling in with a fake accent like he's auditioning for the Groundlings. Forget it.
Well, how did you know that, man? I mean, I'm trying to hear what the guy has to say.
I'm a retard. Boy, oh boy, are you dumb.
Oh, okay, thanks very much, man. I guess I'm a retard, huh?
Pretty much. If you don't get what it is I'm trying to say.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go on to a caller here in Chicago. Brandon, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing, Phil? How's it going out there?
Fine. Thank you very much.
Okay, good. I was just calling in. I'm really new to your show. I just switched jobs, and I'm getting off this late, and I'm just catching you, and I find this show kind of entertaining. And every night you got somebody on there that kind of rattles the cage. But at this time, I have to say in some kind of crazy way that I almost agree with this guy. And that's the gentleman.
There you go, right there. There you go, right there. That's what I'm saying. This guy understands. He understands how
a slot, and this may sound, I don't know to anybody else, but I do have a slot of agreement with him. And that is the names that he's mentioned, they do tell the people what they want to hear. And
in other words, what they do is they talk to them like they're a bunch of guys eating a hot dog separately from a bun.
What they do? What
they talk to whoever's closer and to their heart, and that's the things that they like to hear. And so
they're
going to tune in. Now I'm tuning into this program. This is probably about the third time I've heard it. Just flipping through, heard it, and this is kind of interesting. So
what I'm saying is, well, that's very nice. Thank you very much, sir. But we already know that I'm a good guest. What I'm saying is...
Well, let the gentleman say...
Brandon agrees with me.
Sure.
He admits that he doesn't understand anything unless we treat people like the giant retards that they are. And now, are you saying you're a retard, Brandon?
Did you hear me say that, sir? Is that a question?
No, of course not. Me talking.
And now whatever you, that means. Go ahead, Brandon. What was your comment? Tell you what, we got to take a break. We'll be back. World famous Phil. I'm sorry, but world famous Phil Hendry Show.
What are you doing?
Taking a break so we can fix the limiter.
Oh, great.
Phil Hendry. Our bitch, the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876. Hello, 877-876. Phil, world famous Phil Hendry Show. With us is David G. Hall, and we're talking about the. Well, you've been doing basically is insulting the listeners.
What do you mean I'm insulting the listeners?
You're insulting listeners, saying that they got to be talked to like they're retards.
Well, let me ask you something because I'm really shocked. You are supposedly a very perceptive guy. And
I am perceptive, and when you say that listeners need to be talked to like retards or people that eat the hot dog and the bun separate or have a bicycle helmet, I think you're in their face, man. You're telling them something they don't want to hear.
I'm gonna say it to you again. Is Bill O'Reilly successful or isn't he?
Of course he's successful.
He talks to people like they wipe with a corn cob. I'm sorry to have to put it that way.
Oh, come on, man. I mean, he has people on that show, book authors.
I'm not talking about the guests. I'm talking about the way he says the folks. You know, that's another word. That's another way of saying those people that have to put about three knuckles up their nose before they can find something. That's what that means. That's what the folks means. Hello?
I don't buy it from a couple of different standpoints.
No, you can't really think of the reason why you don't buy it. You just don't like thinking of people that way. And I'll tell you something, you're way too soft. I was going to say for this business, I think you got talent, but you're way too soft.
No, I just see something very mundane and very, very boring about talking to people that way, night after night. Three different, you know, even if you mention Hannity and Beck and O'Reilly, they have three distinct shows.
Yeah, they're three distinct shows, and they all three talk to people like they're dumber than a handful of Georgia dirt. Now, you know it, I know it, the audience knows it.
877-876-PHIL, and here we are with the audience, and we're talking to them tonight. Alex, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with David Hall.
I'm not talking about them individuals.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, Phil, I don't think you need to stoop down to the level of, like, Beck and O'Reilly. Honestly, you should do better than that. I mean, you ought to report the truth, you know, stick to the truth, you know.
People don't want the truth. They don't want the truth, Hendry. You don't listen to this guy. He's going to tell you he wants the truth. The minute you tell him the truth, he's going to turn the channel.
No. And honestly, what the people...
Yeah.
The people are tired of, like, O'Reilly and Beck, and they're tired of Fox News, you know?
No, they're not. No, have you seen their ratings? They're through the roof. Those guys are millionaires.
Nah, man, don't... I don't think you ought to say...
I know. This is what I mean, Phil, right here. R-E-T... I'm going to spell it out, sweetie. R-E-T-A-R-D.
You know what? I think the man can spell.
I think you're talking like one, yeah.
I'm talking like one.
You're saying, oh, O'Reilly and Beck don't make money and Fox is not popular. You've got to be high on a mixture of narcotics.
Oh, come on, will you?
If he was allowed to tell the truth, like the honest truth about, you know, Obama and who influences.
Yeah, you turn the channel.
Like, if he was allowed to tell the truth about, like, who really runs the...
Willy Wonka?
Yeah, no, come on. About who owns Obama? Who pays his, you know...
So let's start with you. Let's start small. Who owns you? Okay? And then we'll work our way up.
Nobody owns me. I'm just...
Sure.
I'm just saying that the Constitution ought to be upheld, you know, and he ought to be...
What do you do? Sir, let me ask you. What do you do for a living? Seriously, what do you do for a living?
What do I do for a living? I'm a student.
That's not doing something for a living. I work in radio. I know about this stuff.
So you're saying people don't want to hear the truth? Well, don't want
exactly.
to hear...
Exactly. They want to feel good, which means they want people to talk to them and reinforce their point of view in a way they understand. So you can say, for instance, Obama, bad man. He lived White House. 15th.
Oh, stop it.
I'm exaggerating, but that's almost what you got to do. Obama is a bad man. He lives in Washington, D.C. He is a communist, and he's going to hurt America. You say all that stuff over and over and over and over again. You're a millionaire. And, Henry, why you can't get that, I'll never figure it out.
I don't think it's quite that easy, all right? There are a lot of people. You think Rush Limbaugh is that simple-minded?
Pretty much. I mean, he says it in a fancier way, but he's basically saying the same stuff. Is that guy still on the phone?
Yes, he is, and you're talking over top of him.
Okay, Alex.
Still here.
Thanks a lot.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. It doesn't matter because for some reason we're having a difficult time. We'll figure it out. 877-876-PHIL.
But having a difficult time what?
Every time you talk, it limits or otherwise clips the callers.
Look, I asked that guy what he did for a living, because he's telling me my business. Now, if there's something I don't like, it's somebody telling me my business. My business is radio. My business is media. And I know that people, the last thing they want is for you to tell them the truth. And
all right, then why am I talking to them? Why am I telling them they're retards?
You're not telling them they're retards. You're talking to them like you had it right the first time.
Well, then why are you telling them that?
I'm not telling them anything.
You're on the air saying you got to talk to them like they're retards. They're listening to that.
They're not. They don't think I mean them. They think I mean the other guy.
877-876-PHIL. Here is James in Paris, Tennessee. James, you're on the Phil Henry Show with David G. Hall. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Phil. Mr. Hall,
yes, sir.
You are a piece of work, buddy. I hope your business is doing well. I'm sure it's suffering. But let me set the story straight for you because you have it completely backwards.
There's the first thing you got
wrong. The reason why...
That's the first thing you got wrong.
Hold on, just the reason why.
How do you feel?
So
10 seconds into your call, and you're wrong already.
Let him talk.
Don't talk over me. The reason why they talk so slow is because the liberals can't understand the freaking Constitution.
They're not talking to liberals. They're talking to conservatives. They don't have liberals watching them. God, see, this guy doesn't get it either. He thinks liberals watch O'Reilly. Liberals don't watch O'Reilly, sir.
90% of the people that voted for Barack Obama never voted in their life.
They're conservatives. They're liberals.
Phil Henry.
This hour of Phil Henry is brought to you by Dynapep Micro Energy Shot.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Jim, well, look, congratulations for coming back.
We don't have a philosophic disagreement. If you agree...
But it makes a lot of sense, because after all, Mr. Obama cannot control the Iranians.
Andrew's parents, Walter and Judy Koenig, are in Vancouver helping police search for their son.
You know how many people like guns and dip?
Yay!
World-famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about every night. And on this program, truth is our bitch. Now, you know that we also like to play around with reality a little bit, if you don't mind us using that phrase. We take the news, the issues, we shove it through the looking glass, we do an Alice in Wonderland on it, and it comes out smelling like a rose, baby. So just stick around. Stick around inside. Give it a couple of weeks. You're going to figure this one out. And like we always like to say on this show, when we say you need a couple of weeks to figure this show out, we ain't kidding. You need a couple of weeks to figure this show out. All right, coming up, Canadian teachers perform a lap dance in front of their students. Now, it was a pep rally. And, of course, here in America, were you a teacher and you did a lap dance in front of your students, you'd be shot, as you know. You'd be shot right where you stand, right where you danced. But in Canada, they're a little, you know, they're on the back end of that stuff, so they're getting up to speed. And pole dancing, speaking of being shot at a pep rally while doing a bump and grind, pole dancing may become an Olympic sport. And a teenager is jailed for blackmailing male students into gay sex over at Facebook. Thank you.
That was you, huh?
Yeah, thank you very much. No, actually, that is a weird story, and we're going to get into that. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Phil. We're going to be bringing on the line here Vernon Dozier. He is a high school teacher from Belmar Academy in Glendale, California. He is also the school varsity football coach. He is also a member of the board there, the administrative board at Belmar Academy. This story about pole dancing being pushed to possibly be a competitive sport in the Olympics may be bizarre for some of us to hear. It certainly sounds strange to me, but nonetheless, I mean, if they've got things like synchronized swimming and that feather thing that they do or whatever the hell that thing is, I suppose pole dancing is the next thing. I'm reading the story here, Vernon. How are you this evening?
I'm doing very good, Phil. Thank you for talking with me about this. It is unusual, but I can tell you that the nature of sport changes all the time. And the nature of competitive sports changes all the time. So I think we have to be ready and keep our minds open.
Now, here is a story. This is from AOL News. Pole dancing, the titillating mainstay of strip clubs throughout the globe, may one day be an Olympic sport, reports the New York Daily News. K.T. Coates, a pole dancer in England, and fellow advocates are circulating a petition for a test event at the Olympics and a more formal event in Rio de Janeiro. Currently, they have 4,000 signatures. Pole dancing is I know that they have pole dancing classes. I know it started among suburbanites as a way for, well, women to stay in shape. Some women said they got into it because it was a sort of an exciting addition to their the amorous life they shared with their husbands. Maybe it was something they did for boyfriends. But now we're talking about it as a competitive sport. Do you know precisely what makes this quote-unquote competitive?
Well, it's like, Phil, if you will, it would be like figure skating, or it could be like high diving or springboard diving. In other words, you get points for style. You get points for different moves. These would be required moves, and then you could score points for invented moves. I think that as an athletic coach, as a teacher, I have to, as I said, I've got to be prepared and make my students prepared for anything that is likely to come down the road in terms of what a student may be interested in, what might be required of them once they get to college. If, for instance, a sport like this is develops to a competitive level at the collegiate level, then it is incumbent upon us at the scholastic level, at the high school level, to prepare our students for that.
So are you offering pole dancing now in high school?
No, we're not offering pole dancing now. We have to go about this in a way that is going to be absolutely above board, because, you know, when you say pole dancing, the first thing you think about is, as you said in that story, is a strip club or something that's very unseemly, and that's not what this is about. If we have young women at the high school level who want to engage in a competitive aspect of this thing called pole dancing, then we have to make sure that it is completely above board, that it has absolutely no implication, no flavor of anything that would be wrong. So,
are you doing any kind of pole dancing at the school? From the standpoint of what you're talking about, where it's a very above board and you're teaching these kids, I don't even, just the idea of pole dancing, it seems like it's not even appropriate for high school.
I don't like the name. I wish that we could call it something else. For now, it's called pole dancing. I suppose we could call it balance dancing. I think it requires a certain level of balance or equilibrium. I don't know. Stationary dancing, something like that, but we have to be completely above board. So we cannot have this on campus. We can't have, for instance, our female students coming into a gym or coming into a workout room where there is a pole and have a teacher such as myself or someone else sitting there grading them and watching them do a pole dance. You're not going to get people understanding exactly what it is you're doing. It's going to take a lot of explanation. So what we've done is we've engaged it off campus.
Where off campus?
We have the pole dancing classes on Saturdays and on Friday afternoons at my home. My wife is there, so both my wife and I actually are part of the coaching staff at the high school. My wife has been a part of the girls' volleyball team as well as the basketball team for 4 years, but now she's going to be helping me with the pole dancing classes. And so we have it off campus. We have it at my house. The girls...
Now, the girls, I take it, have their parents' permission?
Well, that is the part that we are working through. Yes, we do want the parents' permission, absolutely. It is difficult to say to a parent or to put into a piece of any kind of missive from the school, we'd like to get your permission that your daughter take pole dancing, because immediately they're going to say no without even understanding it. I just know parents, God bless them, they are the lifeblood of our school, but they are, many of them are very small-minded, and they don't get the big picture and the big world that's out there, and it's a big world. There's a lot of chances for people like myself, my wife, and our pole dancing students. So what I say to the girls, I say, look, let's do what we're going to try to do is 6 weeks of intensive preliminary pole dance initiation. And then send the girls out in groups of two every 2 weeks with letters to their parents saying, Mom and Dad, is it all right if I take this class off campus at Arlene Dozier's house? It is a dance class, yes or no.
Well, what you say, Arlene is your wife.
That's correct.
Why not, you don't put your name down?
If I put my name down... then it says, I want to take a dance class over at Arlene and Vernon Dozier's house. Now, I look like, you know, forgive me, Phil, but as I said, a lot of these parents are very small-minded. Now they're going to think their daughter's dancing at my house. I'm a man, and there's something untoward about it. So I want to keep everything above board.
But if you're not telling them, all right, so you want to make sure that the parents, you want to make sure that nothing, you can't be accused of anything strange, because the sport itself is a little strange.
Absolutely, Phil. When you say we're teaching pole dancing, you're going to get a lot of people looking at you funny. If you say we're teaching pole dancing at my house on Friday afternoon and Saturday, they're going to look at you even funnier. And if you say that we're teaching pole dancing at my house on Friday and Saturday, and I'm going to ask the parents to give their permission, they're gonna try to lock you up and throw the key away, because the first thing they're gonna say is, no parent is gonna give permission for their daughter to go over to your house and learn how to pole dance. So what we have to do, Phil, is be very careful. We have to let the parents know this is a proposed Olympic sport, that my wife is gonna be there, that the girls, there's a change room for them, that the pole itself is set up in a room that's, you know, my wife is in there. So in other words, it's we got to go at this very slowly, Phil.
Why even go through the hassle of having a pole dance class?
Well,
I mean, what's the, you know, right now it's just a proposal by a group of people in England. Why would you even want to go through the hassle of having a pole dance class with all of these things that you're facing, with the misunderstanding parents? You know?
Well, you know, it's a good question, but I feel that as a teacher, I've got to push my students. The minute I saw that they were proposing pole dancing, I thought, this is very, very ingenious. This is, how can I get this into our high school without people thinking that, you know, we're sick, you know? But I said, I've got to see this. And so, and I didn't mean to say that I got to see this, and I want to see a bunch of high school girls do it. I just want to, you know, how would they do this?
All right, Vernon Dozier is joining us. We've known Vernon for a long time. He's the head football coach at Belmar Academy. They've won something like how many? They've won five divisional championships in varsity football there, and he has been the athletic director there as well as a member of the administrative board for a long time. And they are now getting a group of girls together to take a pole dancing class because it has been proposed that pole dancing be a part of the next Olympics in Rio de Janeiro. So his idea is to get these girls, to get them practicing pole dancing, but he hasn't told the parents yet, and the classes are being held at his house on Friday and Saturdays, and the girls are only gradually going to get parents' permission because the parents, in the words of Mr. Dozier, are a little close-minded and small-minded, and they won't understand the idea of pole dancing as an Olympic sport. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. This is wild. And if they ever do have pole dancing in the Olympics, I would love to see, like we were saying, how they're going to score it and what it's going to look like. 877-876-PHIL. More with Vernon Dozier next, plus your phone calls on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We are with Mr. Vernon Dozier, who is athletic director, varsity high school football coach at Belmar Academy, and one of a number of athletic directors across our country, interested in exploring the idea of pole dancing at the high school level because they are proposing it for the Olympics in 2012, which means, Vernon, that you not only have proficient professionals, right?
Well, that's correct, Phil. At the Olympic level, because they don't have the necessarily amateur, the prohibition against professionals. So that's a very highly developed level. And then you have the collegiate level. So if they have a collegiate level and they have obviously professional level, we owe it to our students and we owe it to our schools to begin to develop at some level in some way. Pole dancing.
So have you already started? Now, you're conducting classes, and you've been very clear, you're conducting classes with students, with girls, without their students' permission at your home, with your wife there.
Yeah, I want you to be very clear that with my wife is there, and the girls have a changing area that I'm not going back there and looking at them as they're taking their jeans off or anything. Now, we film, we actually videotape all of the sessions, and I was hopeful that we can sit down with the parents and show the parents the videotape of their daughters. We've got a number of girls that have got great extension. They've got great flexibility. Part of this is to get your extension and flexibility, and you can execute these moves. So we've got some girls.
How old are the girls in the pole dancing class?
Anywhere from 15 to 17. So we got our sophomores. We do have a freshman class. We don't allow our freshmen.
Why not? Why not the freshmen?
We don't think they're old enough for it. It's a little adult, and it's got. I'm sure you understand. It's pole dancing is bespeaks something that is a little immoral.
But you're taking very great pains.
No, but you're right about that. But I wouldn't feel right. Right now, I'm a little nervous about it. But anyway, they're 15 to 17 years of age, Phil.
All right, so they're 15 to 17 years of age. Now, you say that the kids enjoy it?
The kids enjoy it.
And what feedback, so the parents don't know, are any parents signing off on this?
Well, a couple of the parents that have been approached have been a little closed-minded, but that's the nature of parents. They tend to be closed-minded. They tend to be a little narrow-minded. I don't know if it's because they wish they were young again, and they're not. They get a little sour, so we have to be very careful. One or two of the parents that we just sort of canvassed came across a little tight, you know, as we used to say, tight ass. So we've got to go back and readdress that problem.
All right, Vernon Dozier with us here on pole dancing as an Olympic sport and pole dancing at the high school level as an athletic class. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Peter. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Peter with Vernon Dozier. Go ahead, sir.
Well, thanks for having me on, Phil. Listen,
yes.
This is a very interesting topic. You know, you keep saying that you're nervous, Mr. Dozier, and you know, I could say that probably in the level of divisional championships for varsity high school football programs, you're probably pretty fantastic, but this probably is a level where you should really examine this. I mean, think about it. Why are parents maybe a little creeped out? I mean, the only thing that pole dancing is associated
with... I only said that I was nervous once. I only said I was nervous one time.
Well, it sounds to me like you sound a little nervous. You're having the kids go in twos, and you're not telling them that you're doing this program. You're doing it off campus. all these things should be red flags for you. And here's why I say so. The only thing that pole dancing...
Yeah, tell me why you say so. Are you a teacher? Or what do you do?
I'm actually a pastor. And so I'm speaking at it from the moral level that you keep alluding to. Yeah, let me allude to this here, why the moral level is important. We have kids that are having sex at age 14 and so on and so forth. We're having highest birth rates for kids that are before they're even 18, before they're even out of high school.
Whoa. Where are you going, man? I'm talking about an athletic competition, and you're talking about pregnancy? You know, I think your mind needs to be looked at. No, I'm afraid. You're indicting what I do, sir. You're indicting what I do.
You're indicting yourself, and let me speak about it here for a second, and I'll tell you why.
If you call yourself a pastor and you start talking about sex, I think you indict what you do as well.
All right, let's have a civil conversation here. Go ahead, Pastor.
Give me a second, mister. Thank you. I appreciate that. Here's my view, okay? You're discussing it from a moral level. All right. So here's the issue.
Go ahead. Give me your view. What's your view?
The only thing that pole dancing is associated with is the very perversion that you've been talking about, the unseemly sort of background that this so-called sport has is
perversion. It's illegal. People go into bars to watch. I wouldn't call it perverted. It's an adult.
Then why is it that you're hiding it? Why are you hiding it from the parents? Why is it that you've got to do it off-campus?
Well, I think I've answered that question because a lot of parents are closed-minded. They're very small.
Closed-minded to what? Their children being presented with this sort of information at a young age, and now you want to do it and call it an Olympic sport. I mean,
I don't know why, but you immediately call it perverted, and I would ask you, are you saying that the many women that engage in pole dancing as a recreation, they're perverted? That's what you're saying? Because I think that's what you're doing.
As a recreation?
Are you saying that, the women use it as an exercise, and if you're not familiar with that, then I question whether you're a pastor or not. Women use it as an exercise, they use it as a way of relaxing, but you call them perverted.
Now, listen, I'm saying to you that the association, and you should catch this part, the association to the actual sport which you're alluding to.
You know something? You're a real smartass, aren't you? You're a real smartass, aren't you? I bet you hide behind that turnaround. You hide behind the turnaround caller?
I appreciate that.
I haven't called you any names yet. No, but you're laughing. You think you got it all over me.
You're associated.
Let me ask you something. Are you Jewish?
Okay, what's that supposed to mean?
I know that
he's a pastor. He's a Christian pastor, so I guess that he wouldn't be.
Yeah, no, thanks.
He's coming on and asking me about perversion.
Let me just make my point, and then I'll get off the phone here, Phil, and let you continue this conversation.
Do you ever, you know what I'm saying? You guys have been indicted for this stuff too, you know.
Vernon, you're very defensive. This gentleman is asking. You're very defensive. He's asking good questions. You know,
well, he's immediately calling it perverted.
I understand he's saying that it's perverted, but you, and he's right, you yourself alluded to a nervousness or a trepidation talking to the parents about this. Listen, we have to take a break. 877-876-PHIL. What do you think? This man, a college or high school teacher, is having pole dancing classes. 877-876-PHIL. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Oh, that guy's a smart ass.
Seven seven eight seven six. Phil, you know, this started with this article here on pole dancing in the Olympics.
Well, Mr. Hendry, that's why I agreed to come on your program to talk about that.
I know that, but in preparing young women for a pole dancing exhibition in the Olympics, which may or may not take place, and I don't even know if it's going to be competitive. They usually have it as an exhibition sport, and then in 4 years they have it as an actual competitive event.
I understand that.
All right, but when you have 15 to 17-year-old girls taking a pole dancing class at your house, you're videotaping it. You admitted that you're looking at them as sex objects because that's how they're going to be viewed. You say that some of these girls have got no future. They come from troubled pasts. You pretty much as much say that they are candidates for being strippers, you know, and like they're human refuse.
No. That's where that preacher and that other guy, I forget who, both of those guys ganged up on me. It was like a tag team, those two. saying that I'm a pervert, and then the other guy saying that it was basically saying I was a pervert too. That's what I resent.
Well, you when you say that you're looking at these girls and you got 100 hours of videotape of a 15-year-old pole dancing that you're going to really miss, people are going to be talking like that. Here is Lisa in New York on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Lisa. You're on with Mr. Vernon Dozier.
Okay, how you doing, Phil?
Basically,
I really, really am upset and disgusted as to what this so-called teacher is saying, because I'm a parent myself, and if it's so innocent and what you're doing, why are you not letting the parents know? And if it's not anything that's sick and perverted, why can't you tell the parents? And also, if you're such a great teacher and you're teaching them to do something, why not teach them? Why not educate them? Why not give them a book? Why not take them to the library? Why not take them to the museum? Teach them about.
Because a lot of these girls, you know, it's too late. They're going to wind up. This is a skill.
How do you know that?
What do you mean too late?
You don't even know these people. Like,
15-year-old girls.
They're 15-year-old girls, and you don't even know what they're capable of doing.
Well, you know.
Something right now. How do I know? Because I have a 13-year-old daughter. That's how I know.
Well, do you know?
And I know people that have danced.
Yeah, but you know the clubs I'm talking about.
No, but they were
the tip money is fantastic. The tip money's great.
Phil Hendry.
I apologize.
Go to talkradionetwork.com for more information. It's the Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL, and with me, Guy Barton and Kurt Quitty from the West Virginia State Legislature, as we talk about the role of our elected representatives in our everyday lives, and whether or not we give them respect. I mean, I know that you're talking here, Guy and Kurt, about getting respect, and that is, getting the respect of the constituents. That they communicate with you respectfully, that they that they're not insulting. Is that essentially the? Because you're saying that you're not going to do their work.
Hold on, Phil. I'm almost there. Is it too much to ask for a letter not asking me to do something? Can't you just write me a note saying, "Hey, we like you." You know, voters always asking for stuff, a bunch of things they need, like they wine. You know.
Yeah, that's the other thing, Phil.
What are you saying, that the voters are always asking for something?
That's something, yeah. And so I say to them, there's something different here in West Virginia, that we would like people to write us letters, and they're going to say, well, we're not asking for anything, we don't want nothing, we don't want a sewer system, we don't want this, we just want to say, they're doing a very good job, you know, so they're not whining and crying. You know.
It's a man flying an airplane. You see what I've done.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, you know, about Joe Stack.
Well, you said that Joe Stack flying that airplane now makes you guys even more sympathetic to the IRS.
That's what it's going to do. Now, whatever we can do to support the IRS, we're going to do double.
Right, because of Joe Stack.
Well, I mean, that sounds a little childish, doesn't it?
How's that childish? Are you crazy, man? Boy, he's crazy.
You're crazy, man.
No, I'm saying, isn't that childish to base your support of the IRS on the fact that you don't like Joe Stack, so therefore you're going to support the IRS more?
Well, see, what you know, you got to understand, Joe Stack pissed me off. And excuse my language, you're going to talk direct to me, Phil. I'm going to talk direct to you. Joe Stack pissed me off when he fly a plane, because he's saying, all you people there, man, watch this. Oh, yeah, you don't know what I can do. So I said, look at this. Here's something I'm going to do. I don't care about the IRS anymore, not care about sweeping you off into a hefty bag, you know, or vacuuming you up with a Hoover. I go ahead and sprinkle you at sea.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Kurt Quitty and Guy Barton on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to Hank. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hank, go ahead, sir.
Hi, good evening, Phil. I apologize for nothing. I apologize for nothing. I always start any forum like that because in this apologist society they want us to be in, I apologize for nothing. I've done nothing wrong. Anyway, Kurt, I almost started laughing listening. I said, surely Phil's got a ringer in here or something tonight, you know, talking like this, because this guy's not.
You know what? I'd believe that, too. I would believe that, too, Hank, if I didn't know these guys for the last year. But sometimes I got to tell you, Kurt, you come off sounding like you are kidding.
Well, I tell you, Phil, I take my job serious.
Well, there's two things that Kurt, there's two things that really upset me listening to you. First off, you're going to take revenge, okay? You're going to take revenge on the public dime against an individual, okay? You got to be thick-skinned. You can't be thin-skinned and be in politics. That leads me to the second thing you said that gives me less and less respect for you. You said it hurts your career. Anytime a politician starts talking career, he's just lost me. He lost any respect I may have. If you want a 25-year career in politics, you're not the kind of guy I want there.
Now hold on for a minute. You look at but you start what you just said. Now you talking all. You see now how am I going to respect you or do what you want me to do when you talk all
about
respect.
Me? I neither desire nor want your respect. Okay, I don't want respect.
Well, then I can't.
Then
I'm not going to. Then I ain't going to do anything for you when I'm elected. A representative,
exactly.
You know, you got
all I can do is try to vote you out and get you out of there. You don't need to be in public service at all. You don't need to be holding a stop sign at a street at a bus crossing. I mean,
are you trying to tell me? Like, I'll give you an example of something. They want a sewer system in the southern part of the state in a place called Ridley.
Yeah,
the southern part of the state. It's very poor. But I got a letter from them. It started off, dear Mr. Senator, we need a sewer system. There was nothing in that letter that said, how are you? Pleased to make your acquaintance.
We got a normal salutation. A normal salutation. That's
well, wait a minute. These are people that they're poor people, you said, and they're looking for a sewer system. What is it that they did wrong?
What is it they did wrong? They write like, and I don't want to use the term. You know the term. I know the term. You say white trash. They're not white trash.
Okay,
but they're writing like hillbilly.
Now the elitist coming out, too.
No, sir. I'm looking for just a little bit of respect.
You're ignorant, you're an elitist, and you're a career politician. So that's three strikes, buddy. You're out. They need to vote you out. Three strikes. Elitist, career politician.
That may well be. But do you realize how you pissed me off, too? You call me ignorant.
I don't care. So you need to be. You need to be.
Well, that means I'm
going to
be even less responsible.
But what? Wait a minute,
Kurt. You can cure ignorance. You can't cure stupidity, but you can do something about ignorance through education.
If
that's where your problem lies, you need more education.
You do a lot of talking. Why don't you run for elected office? Okay.
I can't stand the pay cut, buddy. I don't want to be a career politician. I've got a career.
So you expect me? You expect me to do all this work, and you want to pay me dog wages?
No, I expect you to step down.
Every
position ought to be part time. Okay. Do you have a full time position?
Well, wait a minute.
Do you have a full time position in the legislature?
That's a personal question, isn't it?
Is it a full-time position? I mean, is that your job in life?
His full-time position, but his full-time position with Rosie over here.
Yeah, that's my full-time position.
Well, that's a mistake right there. You ought to be up there tonight lobbying to make sure that every elected official is a part-time position. It should never be a full-time position.
You ain't doing no listening, son. You're doing a lot of talking. You ain't doing no listening. I'm telling you.
I'm trying to educate you, Kurt. I'm trying to tell you everything you do,
but I ain't going to do nothing as long as you talk. You trouble me like a woman, you know.
Don't start talking. You're getting insulting.
No. I swear, this man, he got no ears. I come to call him no ears, like in a movie.
But the man's point is a very good point. You cannot treat voters with disrespect. They'll vote you out.
No, that's what he got wrong. He knows as well as I do, voters in this country don't vote nobody out. They keep everybody in, and that's the way it ought to be. But you want me to fund the veterans? You want me to fund the Veterans Center? Yes, you do. Well, I don't like you, and I'm not going to support it now. You see what he did?
If that's the condition of politics in West Virginia, no wonder it's the poorest state in the Union, and no wonder it's the most ignorant state in the Union.
That's Mississippi. That ain't West Virginia. So you got to start.
West Virginia, basis, is much worse off.
No, wrong. I just got the statistic. I can show you. And because of you open your mouth tonight, there ain't going to be no Veterans Center. We're going to vote on for 2 weeks.
Yeah, he just decided. See,
guy's from Tennessee.
You see what he did? Look what he did. And the people of West Virginia are going to thank you for that.
No. The people of West Virginia know that you were being petty and you're blaming it on Hank.
No, Hank started going blah, 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 blah. So guess what? Now there ain't going to be no vote.
All right, Hank, thank you very much.
Phil,
I don't think anybody's blaming you.
And then, like I said, I pity the people in West Virginia if this is what they have for representation. Bless their hearts. I wish they'd go ahead and
pity the people of West Virginia.
But God bless you all here. But I'm enjoying the show regardless, and God bless all of you.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you for your call.
He ruined it all. Now, how come you're giving him all kind of deference and everything?
Yeah, you're licking it up. You're licking it up one side and down the next, Bill.
No, excuse me, guy. No, I'm not licking anything up one side and down the next. I'm listening to that man, and I'm simply saying to you, Kurt, why you would blame the non-passage of that Veterans Center.
I'm using that as an illustration of what I'm trying to say, and you ain't going to want to get it.
And what don't I get?
I said that man called up. He called me a bad. Why don't you give out the phone number there?
Yeah, give that phone number out, Doug. It's going to have people call.
Yeah, I'll give the phone number out, guys, but I'm asking you why you blamed him. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Forgive me. 877-876-PHIL. Why did you blame him?
I blame him because I'm here. I'm talking to you. At a veteran center's up. Now, here come a man from Tennessee. He's going, hey, you this, you that. You a pile, man. You a pile. You a pile and a half, man. I've got that. A whole passel of flies will lay their eggs in you. Like I'm a mounded turd, you know. I said, just for that. Well, guess what? Now there ain't going to be no veteran center.
Yeah, he bought it. He stepped in it good.
Oh, yeah, he stepped in it. He ain't going to get that rinsed off.
877-876-PHIL. I don't know why you'd blame him. Here is Chip on the Phil Hendry Show. Chip, go ahead. You're with Guy Barton and Kurt Queedy.
My basic thought is I'm sitting here listening to these two elected representatives, and I guess my thought is that the only way they're going to earn respect is by actually representing the voters and not their own little petty agenda. And I need to finish. I think elected representatives ought to have some maturity and some common sense, and they need to listen to the voters, or they need to be put out.
You're wrong there. You're wrong.
I don't think I'm wrong. I'll tell you why you're wrong. You need to listen
to voters. We've been listening to voters. We've been listening to voters for a long time.
You don't listen to the voters, and you need to vote, and you need to represent the people.
We listen to them, but they don't make no sense.
Yeah, what do you do when the voters don't make no sense? See, what you do, you have to lead then, and then I lead, and they write me a letter, and they call me a dog. They say, this man's a dog. I get that in letters. And so that says to me, I said, okay, guess what? I'm going to do what I feel like doing. Y'all can just, I don't care if you burn, you know.
You weren't elected to do what you want to do. You were elected,
to lead
the people.
Right, to lead the people.
No,
sometimes a man will call me up.
You weren't elected to lead. You were elected to represent.
Yes, I was. No, you got it all wrong, son. You don't even know what it is. I'm supposed to do what I think is right on behalf of the people.
Well, this is the age-old debate, isn't it? Do representatives, are they there to do what they feel is right for people, or are they there to just simply to just do the bidding of the people?
No, we're here. I'll do the bidding of the people as long. See, I would do the bidding of the people if they write me a letter. A fan letter that's got more than just a lot of complaining.
Yeah, the fan mail we get.
How do you deserve a fan letter?
No, you know what I mean. We're talking about the letters that we get from people, like the fan mail.
It's not fan mail. It's constituent mail.
Well, yeah, but it's the same thing, right? And they'll say that.
No, it's not the same thing.
And they say to me, excuse me, when are we going to get that Veterans Center? And I wrote the lady back. I said, we're going to get the Veterans Center, but don't get pushy. See, she was pushing me. And then she said, but I love you because you voted against Martin Luther King. I said, we got a black president. You're going to publicize that all over hell's half creation? I said, you know what? You deserve.
Yeah. See, that's bad.
That lady thought she was giving you a compliment. She thought she was giving you a compliment. Okay, Chip, is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Thanks very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Go over to Dustin. Dustin, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Kurt Creedy and Guy Barton. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Phil. I've been listening to this conversation for a while, and I really got to say, is this like you know, representative is pretty much self-explanatory. They're there to represent the people, and it doesn't sound like they're doing a very good job, especially when I hear white trash come out of this guy's mouth.
Let me finish.
All right, you've been talking. Let me have my say,
Let the guy do it.
I've been serving my country for 10 years, and I've been called every negative thing up and down
the board, all right? But it doesn't stop me from wanting to serve my country, all right? You get in there,
you get
people calling you duty head and whatever else you want to call it, and you're going to sit there and go, oh, no, now we're just going to do whatever the heck we want to. You know, I mean, you demand respect, but yet I haven't heard one thing come out of your mouth that deserves it.
Are you a jarhead? What you do?
Don't call him a jarhead. What do you do, Dustin? Sorry.
I'm in the Coast Guard.
Oh, Coast Guard.
You're a meathead.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not a jarhead. That's a meathead.
No,
well,
it's
look,
not
it, don't call them names, all right?
See,
so you're in the Coast Guard.
And then this is the type of ignorance that's getting elected in our political office. And it just blows me away. I mean, you call yourself educated, and you don't even know what I do.
Yes, I am educated. I do know what I'm doing. I'm just not the Coast Guard.
You call yourself educated. You know, and it's depressing to see this, but, I mean...
I want
to
ask this man a question.
Some lady says something that you don't like, and then you're going to go hurt other people because...
Exactly.
You don't like what she said.
Exactly.
This other guy comes along.
We are going to do the Veterans Center, but we're pushing it back 2 weeks because she opened a big bazoo about Martin Luther King. I can't have that.
Honestly, help me understand this, then. Why are you pushing it back? Because she said something that you didn't like. Why are you pushing that back? I don't get it.
What happened was this. I voted against Martin Luther King Day a long time ago.
Okay.
And she liked that, and she brought that up as a good thing, and I told her, I called her a cow. I shouldn't have done that. But I said, you old cow, you know, I'm sure you understand. I said, why'd you bring that up now? Because we got a black president. And she said, I thought it was a good thing. I said, well, you just carved the Veterans Center a new you-know-what. I said, I'm going to push that back 2 weeks. Look at what you did. Look at the mess you made, see?
Well, why would you punish the veterans, though? The veterans are the guys that don't...
He hasn't made a mess. You're the one making a mess of this.
Made a mess? But now you're in the Coast Guard. You don't get to come to Veterans Center.
Why not?
Yeah, I do.
The guys that... Well, don't you guys get swimming lessons and stuff like that?
This man is in the Coast Guard. These guys are... They're part of our armed forces.
Yeah, but they give out swimming lessons, too.
And then, if you served in the military, then you would know what we're talking about. But you haven't, so you don't know.
Yeah,
but what I'm trying to say is,
does the Coast Guard give high diving lessons?
What now?
Does the Coast Guard give springboard lessons, things like that? You don't do that?
See, this is ignorance, man. You're a politician. And you're not accountable.
Are you guys kidding or something?
I want to meet the man. Don't they sponsor the cannonball contest?
That's the Coast Guard. It's not the Red Cross. They're not giving... Thank you very much, Dustin, for your call.
This guy's
I rolled my son in a swimming class. That was Coast Guard.
No, it ain't the Coast. It's the Red... Thank you very much, and thank you for your service to our country. Coast Guard is a great branch of the United States military. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. More of your calls coming up next.
Well, that just ain't right.
Phil Hendry.
Cannonball.
Bertha Lewis is an acorn, yeah. And Newt Gingrich, who's he?
He's the guy that was... Well, I know I like him because of what he says. The things what he represents. I know he's against Obama. That's the reason why I like him.
Yeah, so yeah, he doesn't understand.
I do. I don't want a communism, which is where we're going.
Oh, will you knock it off with the communism thing?
It is. If you read about it, you'll know.